You are listening to the Willpower Podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Will Holdren, and I talk with some of the most influential CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and thought leaders to try and reveal the secrets that has led to their success. I believe that with the right knowledge and mindset, you can do anything you set your mind to. So if you want to learn how to change your life for the better, if you want to learn how millionaires actually became wealthy, or if you want to develop and start your own business from the ground up with the right knowledge to help you, then you are in the right place because this is the Willpower Podcast. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today, we have an entrepreneur who's also based out of the Idaho market. And his name is Daniel Wilgenbusch. And Daniel is just an incredible entrepreneur doing a lot of great things. But mainly what he helps people do, especially other entrepreneurs, is he helps people that have maxed their capacity and have difficulty scaling, right? So that's what he's kind of built his company around. His company is called the Vival Group. He's been doing a lot of great things with that. And also, he's got a great presence and also in the religious community, doing a lot of great things in the church out in Idaho. So it's an absolute pleasure to have him on here today. So Daniel, thank you so much for joining me.
Dude, it's excited to be here, man. I'm pumped to be here, honored to be asked to be on here. And I know it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be powerful. But we're going to have a good time, first and foremost. So let's do it, dude.
Absolutely. I appreciate you being on here. I know Joe definitely introduced us. And so Joe's an incredible person, has a great story as well. And so I'm sure you're also going to fall into that category. And so starting out, I want to ask you a question that I pretty much ask all of my podcast guests. But that question is, first of all, what motivates you to jump on podcasts like these and really just tell your story to other people that are listening?
That's a good question, bro. I like it. That's not the same question everybody starts their podcast with. I love it.
A little different. Yeah.
Well, I'll say this, man. I think for a good portion of my life, you know, I always felt like I had really, really good things to say. I felt like the world needed what I had. But for one reason or another, I felt like most of my life, most people's sentences started kind of right in the middle of mine, right? It's like my words had no weight. I didn't have influence. I didn't have authority. And which is frustrating when you think you have, you know, some of what it takes to make the world a better place. And so, you know, for a good portion of my life, it felt like nobody really cared what I had to say until I got into business and started pursuing, you know, success and started pursuing, you know, actually rather than just wanting to make a difference, actually going out and doing something about it. You know, and over time your wisdom, you know, starts to grow. And I think that, you know, the separation between knowledge and wisdom is the pain of experience. And the truth and wisdom have a different sound to it than knowledge does. And so I think the reason I love being on podcasts is because I think there's a lot of people who have extraordinary contributions that live on the inside of them. But I think a lot of times we don't believe in ourselves enough to go out and do something about it, to take what's inside and bring it outside. So if I can play even a small part in that and speaking and sharing my story and sharing, you know, I've had some great successes, but also some extraordinary defeats and frustrations and disappointments. And if I can help, you know, even move the needle a little bit for somebody, then, you know, it's worth the time invested. So,
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you hopping on this and obviously sharing your story, because I feel like there's so many people listening, especially to this podcast. It's really a lot of younger entrepreneurs that really want to jump out there and create their own business. But like you're talking about, like, it's hard. You don't know how to start. Mm-hmm. Podcasts like these make it easy for someone to listen to a story like yours. And it's inspiring, right? It's someone that made that leap to entrepreneurship and made it work. Right. And now you got a family, you're doing entrepreneurship full time. Like it's working. Right. So it's just a really inspiring message. And so, like I mentioned, a lot of kids on this podcast are probably listening to this podcast anyway, want to go into entrepreneurship. And so with that being said, I'll probably ask you a question that pretty much every other podcast host asks, but what was your childhood like, and how have you kind of gotten to where you are today?
Well, so I live in Idaho now. I grew up in the Midwest, grew up in North Chicago. And my dad was a business owner my whole life, owned a carpentry and modeling business for 29 years. And so I grew up around entrepreneurship. My best friend's dad also owned a very successful company. And so I grew up around business owners. I grew up around it. And And interestingly enough, you know, you would think that would kind of lead me to want to go own a business and start a business. It actually did the opposite. It made me not want to own a business. You know, I didn't know. My childhood was very frustrating because I actually didn't know what I wanted to do. I was the kid that, like, you know, I just like played video games all the time, and I played sports, and you know, I just could never figure out what I wanted to do. There was nothing that I could think of, you know, outside of being like a professional athlete that I actually would want to do with my life. And so, like, you know, getting out of high school and going to college, I was always kind of like, what the heck am I going to do? I changed majors 4 times across 3 semesters in college. And dude, because I just couldn't figure it out, man. I wanted to try different things. And here's a word of wisdom for anybody who listens to this. Don't go to college trying to figure out what to do with your life, because that's a really costly way to figure it out. That's what happened to me, accumulating student debt, just spinning my wheels in college, basically changing major to major to major. And so, but the reason I didn't want to own a company is because I saw that, you know, my parents were working, bro, like 60, 80, 90 hours a week. And I was like, all I know is I don't want to do that. I don't want my life to be consumed by work, because I like having fun. You know, I like hanging out with friends. I like working out. I liked it. Like, and so, so I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I remember in my, it was my third semester, it was January, 2013. I was sitting in a business marketing class, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this guy has no idea what he's talking about. Like, this guy is literally just reading from a book. He has never owned a business. And I'm sitting here paying, you know, $38,000 a year to be in this college, this private school, out of my pocket. It wasn't mom and dad's money. It was my money that I didn't have. It was a loan. And I'm just like, why am I here? And I literally dropped out of college 2 weeks later and ended up starting a business, ironically. And so, you know, kind of the long story short is, you know, for basically 10 years, I spent a lot of time, building different businesses, recruiting, teaching, training, developing people, leadership development, a lot of personal development, a lot of mindset development. I did door-to-door sales. I did network marketing. I did car sales at one point. I did gym membership sales. I worked at a GNC and sold, you know, supplements and stuff. But most of my success came through door knocking and network marketing. You know, I did really well in two different door knocking opportunities. Then I built two teams and two different companies of a few hundred people, in network marketing businesses. And so I tried my hand a lot of different things, you know, and instead of paying in college to go learn information from people who weren't actually living it, I decided to just go get in the world and try my hand at stuff. And, you know, over time started to, you know, have some success and started to have some wins and started to learn a lot about people, about sales, about business, about, you know, different types of cash flow, about, you know, all sorts of different stuff like that. And so that was kind of the beginning of the journey for me. For probably about 10 years, I was involved in a handful of different businesses. And, you know, that leads me a little bit to kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's a very interesting background. And a couple of things I want to comment on that. One, I find it super interesting how you grew up close to business owners, like you mentioned, and you saw them working 80, 90 hours. And that kind of said in your mind, like, you know, I don't want to go down that route. And it's crazy because you see like Elon Musk and other people talking, like, if you could do it over again, what would you say to yourself? Be like, I wouldn't do it, right? Because they know now like how hard it really is to grow that business, right? Yep. So it's interesting. It is. Then, you know, obviously you kind of found your way back to it anyway, but so talk to me through that moment. Like, you dropped out of college after getting in pretty much a lot of debt, switching your major 4 times. And so what was really like, I mean, honestly, like, from the parental situation, like, what did your parents think of that decision that you made? First of all,
they were all for it. I was the first of my family to go to college, go to a formal university. My brother went to like a community college, and my sister did like an online thing. So I was like the first of my family to go to like university. And so there was obviously a lot of pride around that and stuff like that. But, you know, my parents have always been very encouraging of whatever that I want to do. They get behind me. They've always encouraged me. They've always supported me. They've always believed in me. They're like, look, if you believe this is the right thing to do, we'll get behind you. And so it wasn't hard from that standpoint. It was, however, very difficult from a standpoint of all my friends. My friends were literally like, dude, you are an idiot. You're throwing your future away. You're going to fail. I was like floored, dude. I was like, these are my friends. And like, they were like criticizing me and like, and so it caught me off guard. And that's, you know, a reality of when you kind of pursue the road less traveled. You'll be surprised at who supports you. You'll be even more surprised at those who don't. And so it was actually really easy transition out of college. I never really liked school begin with. It was like, I got out and I was just grinding, working, dude, traveling. Like, honestly, I was like, I couldn't have been happier, bro. I was like living my dream at, you know, 20 years old or something like that. So,
yeah, no, it's pretty cool. And to that point, once you do take that road less travel, you really do find out who's really just an acquaintance, right? And who your real friends are. And that's why the advantage is if you have one, two, or even three, like really friends you can call real friends, like you're doing better than most people, right? And
yes, without doubt.
A prime example of that situation. And obviously you jumped into sales after that, which is a great industry, just gain skills in, you know, going forward. So when did you, I know you said you kind of jumped around different stuff like for like a decade or so there, but when did you really find your niche and really what you wanted to do? And when did Vival Group come along when you started that?
Yeah, great question, man. So I really found, you know, where I was supposed to be about, it would have been like August 2020. So Vival Group was founded initially by one of my closest friends. He's my business partner now. It was founded by my friend Alex, and he actually reached out to me. I was building two different businesses at that time. And he reached out to me and said, hey, bro, you know, I feel like I've been released to really run my lane, start up this company. I want to share with you what I'm doing. And so we ended up sitting down and I ended up becoming his first client. And, you know, basically the place that I was at in my life is I wasn't I had a ton of experience in leadership. I had a ton of experience in developing people and in sales training, management, mindset, coaching. I'd done tons of public speaking stages, just does it like all that kind of stuff. But I was at a point in my life where I was like, on paper, I should have really, really liked my life. Like everything about my life was amazing, to be honest, but I was like miserable, if I'm honest with you. Like, and it doesn't make sense, but I just was miserable. And he ended up taking me through this process, which basically like what it is that he helped me do is he showed me a system, an operating system that I could basically scale my personal life and my businesses at the same time. Right. Because what I felt like was I felt like I was just spinning my wheels. Like if I was like winning in business, it was coming at the expense of, you know, my marriage or my health, or like it was all consuming. But then if I took my eyes off my business to kind of fix these things over here, then my business started suffering. And it was like, how the heck do I grow everything at the same time? Because I'm a dude that I value my health and fitness. I value my wife. I value my daughter. I value my relationship with God. I value my mindset. I value serving in church. I also really value business. It's really hard to scale all of that. And that's what I needed help doing. And so, you know, basically what happened is he took me through this process. And after a number of months, dude, my life was completely changed. Like it was like I had more responsibility. I was making more money than I'd ever made, but I had more time than I'd ever had. It was like I was like sitting around almost bored during the day. It was like the weirdest phenomenon, dude. I was like, what the heck is going on? And so I was like, this is like crazy potent. And so I just started, as I was praying and different things like that, I just started to feel like God was pulling me towards that. And so you know, long story short, probably October of 2021 or so, somewhere in that range, is when I decided to actually partner with him. I left one of my businesses and partnered with him in Vival Group. I'd love to tell you, it has been a dream come true, but the realities of business is hard. There's extraordinary things that we've done. There's extraordinary times and moments, but there's also been crazy difficulties due to business is freaking hard. But overall, man, I found myself in like, this is really what I wanted for the last 12 years is to find like my lane, to find like my signature, my wheelhouse. And that's really where we're at now. And so that's basically what we do is we just help leaders and organizations scale their personal life and their organization at the same time. So
yeah, and that's awesome. Like you said, it takes time to find it, right? And you know, one of the big things in your life is obviously God and religion, and the same thing for my life. And you know, I think a lot of kids listening, they want things to happen like that, right? But you can't really control God's timeline, right? Because patience, you gotta have patience with that, and it's gonna happen naturally over time. So I'm super glad you brought that up. But before I jump into more of what you guys do with the Vival group, I want to go back to that decade, and obviously when you first partnered up with Vival. Talk me through like some of the dark ages. And I like to say that because like the dark times, right? Because there's ups and downs in every business that you do. And I think Instagram and obviously social media is a lot of just the highlight reel stuff. But from your experience, like were there ever like times, like months or days during that, you know, that period of time where you're like, man, like this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't see how this is really going to work at all at the end of the day.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, dude, there was a year period of time where I was homeless. I was living out of my car.
Wow.
Trying to build a business, you know, sleeping in my car with a knife. Cause like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm like trying to find like nice neighborhoods to go like sleep in on the curb or whatever, you know? So like, I'm not like, you know, it was pretty wild, dude. For a year there in California, had two businesses fail. You know, one business I built up, had a few hundred people in my group. And, you know, I got an email literally, dude, overnight. I woke up one morning, got an email, company failed, or didn't fail. It got sued by the FTC. So the company was closed down in an instant, dude. So I have, you know, just dozens and dozens of people on my team that like are like relying on this income. I'm one of them. People that I had led and people that I had, you know, brought into this opportunity, and for this company to shut down overnight, dude, like you have all these different thoughts of like, you're a failure. You misled people, and not out of intention. Like I didn't control it. I didn't own the company. Right. But it was like all this different stuff that you start to wonder, like, am I even made for this? Am I a bad leader? Am I a failure? Am I a loser? You know, and you have all your identity wrapped in what you're doing. You know, that you start to think like, man, I'm not made for this. I should just go get a job somewhere, dude. Like, this is so hard. Like, what was the last 3.5 years of my life for? I just invested everything I had, you know, in this business. I dropped out of college for this business. I, you know, broke up with a girlfriend for this business. I'd given up everything to build this, and literally overnight it was gone. You know, and something like that actually happened twice to me in the last 12 years. You know, and so, you know, there's another business that I was involved in. It was a door-to-door company, and it was like a $3 billion company. And I was number one in the nation in this company in my first week, and they just crushed it, dude. And, you know, they sent me all around the world, like traveling to like Cabo and Mexico and different trips and stuff like that. And as I started climbing in leadership, started to realize that, dude, I can't freaking trust these people as far as I could throw them. Like I can't. And so again, another thing I'm building, as soon as you start getting closer to leaders, start to realize, man, I can't trust these people. So I had to leave that. And so it's just a process, man, along the way of, you know, you have to identify who you are, what your core beliefs and core values are, where you fit in, where you stick out. And so along the way, man, yeah, there's a lot of times where I started to question, like, you know, where you have the skills to be making incredible amounts of money, yet you're not, you know, yet you haven't, you know, secured a sale in, you know, 30 days or 2 weeks or a week or 3 months or whatever. And so the realities are, man, this is why 3% of people control 97% of all the money, is because the mentality that is required to become successful is not normal. Like, you have to be kind of crazy in order to actually become successful. And the reality is, I don't care what age you are, young, old, doesn't matter. Most people think it's so much easier than it actually is. And once you get started, it's not that it's all doom and gloom and bad. Trust me, I tell you, it's a worthwhile journey. I don't want to like deter people, but I also think that most podcasts and most business people, they glorify entrepreneurship. And I will say this, dude, I think one of the greatest pieces of advice I was ever given, and this is particular for anybody who wants to start a business, more so young people, is I don't believe that God can trust you with your own vision until you've been trusted with someone else's. I think that most young people want to get out of jobs and all that and start their own company, but you know, I don't want to go down a super spiritual path, but there's a parable called the Parable of Talents, and it talks about three different servants that were given a certain measure of talent. And the moral of the story is basically that it's not about what you're given. It's about what you do with what you're given. And every single person is given a measure of something, of gifting, of talent, of opportunity, of access to people, whatever. And I think so often we're so quick to want to go start our own thing or have our name on the door. But like the business we want to start, my question is, do you have any experience in the game? Why go start your own business when you could go get into that industry, work for someone crushing it for 5 years, learn the game, learn the business, learn the ins and outs, learn the operations, learn the skill set, learn, build a network, build all that stuff, and then go start your own business doing it. Don't just leave like I did. I like left college and all this different stuff to go, and I'm not a big fan of college anyways, but I like left all this stuff to go start this business full time. And it was some really good things and also some really difficult things. But the wise thing to do would have been to build that thing part time for a few years to really learn the game before going all in on it, because it's just wisdom. That's all it is. It's wisdom.
Yeah. So yeah, I can't agree more with what you just said, right? I don't think dropping out of college was the issue, right? I'm with you. I think college is a great
In fact, maybe you should drop out of college. Studying to be a doctor or a lawyer, you should probably bounce.
Right. Exactly. And you're right. It's more about who you know too. So like in that situation, like after you do that, build something part-time, but get a job in that industry for a couple of years and really learn
the game
happening and learn from the top guy that's crushing it. And then after some time, you know, you can break on your own and then go into it, right? And so that's a really cool part, I think, about what you just said, and I agree. And another thing I want to mention is that you're right. I think social media glorifies, especially a lot of podcasts glorify, but my whole thing is you need to realize the risks that go into it. Like I said, it's definitely worth it, but just realize the full risks that come along with choosing the entrepreneurship route, right? I think that's the big difference. And, you know, like you said, in your life, you were sleeping out of a car for like a month in California. That to
a
me-
year.
A year. Yeah, a year.
Big difference. So.
Yes.
I wish it was a month, dude.
Yes, exactly. And so the way I see it is like maybe 30% of people actually jump in and start their own business, right? For the first time, right? Out of the 100%, 30% will probably go and start their own business, right? But then something like that happens in their business initially, right? And then majority of them will not continue down that route and they're going to switch out of it. Maybe 3% will still continue down that route. And that to me, like the separating factor between those that really do make it and those that don't make it, because not many people are going to make their first business that they ever start a huge successful hit. It just doesn't happen. Like for you, I'm sure this is like you said, you've done so many things before joining Viable Group and now you've crushing in Viable Group with all this experience leading up to it, right? So it's not like that 3 years was just a waste. I mean, think about how much you've learned about yourself and the lessons you learned during that time span as well. And now you're taking that with you in the next business going forward, right? So I think that's just a huge point. So fast forward to where you are now, and the way I kind of understand it, you guys work with entrepreneurs, right, and really help them transform their lives, help them scale, and also help them just become a better person in general, right? Because I think health is a huge factor of it, religion is a huge factor of it, and really just elevating all areas of their life. So going off of that, I mean, is there anything else basically that you guys do, and how do you guys go along? Like, what are you guys' main procedures to help someone, help a business owner go from super busy focusing on business 24/7 to have a more well-rounded, elevated lifestyle?
Yeah. Well, kind of the philosophy is, you know, there's kind of four different phases you can find yourself in life and in business. We're big on principles, right? I like principles. I don't like doing what's trendy. I like doing what's timeless. Most people are they're building businesses and things like that on things that are trendy. And if you build things on things that are trendy, what happens is you have to rebuild that thing in 2 or 3 years from now when something else trendy comes out. If you build your life and you build your business on principles, principles are what govern success, and they're cross-contextual, meaning a principle is something that's true, not just in your marriage. It's true in your business. It's true in your relationship with God. It's true in your health and fitness. Principles are cross-contextual. And so there's really like four different phases you can find yourself in anything, right? And the first one is being under it, right? And so like most, we don't only work with entrepreneurs, but we mostly work with entrepreneurs. We work with leaders. We work with organizations. So like some of my clients don't own a company, but they are leaders within the organization they work with. But the first phase is kind of being under your business, right? Where your business is just on top of you. You're just like, you're doing fulfillment, you're doing operations, you're doing sales, you're doing marketing. You're like, it's just like it is never ending, all consuming. That is the worst place to be. That's where most solopreneurs are, is they're under their business. The next thing after being under your business is being in your business. This is where things start working a little bit. You start getting a little traction. You're maybe making a little bit of money, but you can't look up to the future because you're so consumed by what's happening right now, right? That's being in your business, which is where probably 70%+ of organizations are, is at the end phase. The third phase is where you're working on your business. This is where you've started to build out team. You've started to build out trusted leaders, people who are working in the business, right? And you're able to kind of step out a little bit and start working on the business, start working on efficiencies, start working on synergy, start making things more effective, right? And so that's working on your business. That's the third phase. The fourth phase is where we work to get people to, which is where you're living above your life and business, where things can function with or without your consistent and constant presence, right? And that's where you have systems in place. That's where you have really solid operations in place. You have fulfillment being handled, sales being, like, all these different things. And so that's basically what we specialize in doing, is we specialize in getting leaders and organizations above their life and their business. And so we have like 7 different systems that we install in people's personal lives and in their businesses to help them get above. That's basically what we do, kind of a 40,000 foot view.
Yeah, I love that. And that to me is the dream scenario, right? When you're thinking outside your business, everything's still running, but you don't have to be there day to day on the daily operations, because pretty much at that point, it's just another job, right? Because you're pretty much spending all of your time in the business if you're making less money, right? And so you're the one dealing with more risk. So that's a super cool concept going forward. And so I'm kind of curious. I know obviously you've been doing this for a couple of years now with the Vival Group, but do you guys have like an exit strategy in place, or have you guys put in any thought of that, or, you know, anything along those lines for like down the road? Like what your guys' plans are?
Yeah, we've talked about it. So, you know, we think it's good wisdom to, if you're going to build a business, build it not for the purpose of selling it, but build it where it's able to be sold. Right. A lot of businesses, people don't build with selling it in mind. And so we have zero intention of ever selling it. Like, this isn't, that's not an interest. We're not building it. We're not serial entrepreneurs trying to build this business to sell it and make an exit and go do something else. Like, dude, we are literally all consumed by the purpose and the passion of this business. Like, we think it's one of the greatest needs, particularly in the United States, but globally, right? Is getting people above their life and business where that they can actually focus on. Most people are completely consumed by their day-to-day tasks, responsibilities. They get home just to relax and then wake up tomorrow and do it again. And that's not different for entrepreneurs than it is for people who work for companies. Like, everybody lives that. And so it's a huge problem. It needs to be solved, and we have the solutions for it. So like, we're not building it to sell it, but we are building it with selling it in mind, because there's nothing worse than building a company wanting to exit. You can't.
Right.
And now you're actually owned by the business, right? And so, yeah, we have no intention of exiting. We have no intention of selling it. But I think every company should be structured so that in the event, because you don't know what's going to happen in 10 years, you know, if anything that this call has done is it should reinforce that you don't know what the heck's going to happen in 10 years from now. Like, right. I didn't anticipate any of this would happen over the last 10 years. Dude, believe me, I got in a business and I'm like, this is going to be peachy, dude. I'm going to be rich in 6 months. It's going to be awesome.
Right.
You know? And so you never know what's going to happen. You know, you don't know if there'll be a family thing or you don't know. And so we're building it to sell, but we have zero intention of doing so.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And before we run out of time here, just got a couple more questions for you. But one, looking forward for you, I mean, what are your main goals that you hope to get accomplished like this year with Vival Group or even with you personally? And then I guess some bigger goals even down the road.
Yeah, it's a good question, dude. So there's a couple things. So like one of the like personal goals that I have is I'm trying to get to 210 pounds, 10% body fat. That's a personal goal that I have. We have a pretty incredible goal setting structure. We have one of the things that we do is we can guarantee, no matter what the goal is, if you set a goal with us, of every goal you set, you'll hit 9 out of 10 goals you set, guaranteed your money back. Like, we have the most ridiculous goal setting framework ever. So I've hit like over like 100 goals in the last like 2 years, which is nuts. And so I'm on the pathway to 210 pounds, 10% body fat. had a couple setbacks, unfortunately, dislocated my shoulder, hurt my knee. But we're well on our way. And so I think I should be able to get there in the next probably, I don't know, 18 to 24 months. So that's one of the personal goals. I have another personal goal with my wife. This is more of a 3 to 5 year target for us, is we want to go on like 2 vacations a year and then a quarterly getaway, where it's just the two of us for like one night or something, whether it's a local vacation or somewhere down, whatever. But so that's like a 3 to 5 year target. Business standpoint, one of our big things, is we want to build out our strategist team to 5 strategists, additional to what we have right now. Right now we have, 4 guys who can take clients. We want to build that out to 9. By the end of this year. And so, that's one of the big goals that we're focused on, as well as, up to this point, we've pretty much built exclusively around referrals. Mm-hmm. It's all been referrals. We've handled over 100 clients now, you know, ranging from 200,000 a year in revenue all the way up to our biggest clients, like 200 million a year. And so we've done like all of that through like referral and just through our networks. And so there's 2 marketing strategies we're integrating right now that we really want to have cranking by the end of Q3, to really start scaling our own business. We've built out all of the foundations really, really well. We feel like we're ready right now to probably handle at least 5 million a year in revenue. We're not quite there yet. We've built out all of that. Now we're ready to scale. I think a lot of people try and scale too quick. They don't build the foundations right. They scale revenue and everything crashes. And so we wanted to do it the other way. We want to build a really sound, integrous vessel so it can go high. And that's where we're at right now, is building out all the marketing and stuff. So those are like some of my personal goals. I have a bunch more. And then some of the business goals, which we also have a bunch more, but for, you know, this year.
I love it. It sounds like you guys are absolutely crushing. I love that model too, how you'll hit 9 out of 10 goals. That's insane, right? That's life-changing stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah, clients went 354 out of 375 last year. It's pretty insane, dude.
A crazy ratio, yeah.
I know, it's nuts.
That's awesome. But yeah, so before we hop off, first of all, I appreciate you coming on here, learning a lot of great stuff. I'm sure my audience did as well. But is there anything else that you would like to say? And if people want to reach out to you or Viable Group, how can they go about finding you guys?
Yeah, just first name, last name on Instagram. You know, not everybody qualifies to be a client of ours, but in the end of the day, dude, like, I'm not on here to secure business. Like, I just want to make a difference, you know? So if anybody watches this, if you need support, if you have questions, you want to chat, jump on my Instagram, jump on my Facebook, jump on my LinkedIn. Just first name Daniel, last name Wilgenbush. I'm sure the spelling will be in here somewhere. Yep. Just reach out, man. If I can lend a helping hand, awesome. And if we can do business together, also awesome. You know, so it's all good, man. I just like helping people, dude. That's the bottom line. Whether people become a client or not, it's like, we just had more people who are actually skilled out there helping and serving people, dude, this world would be a lot better.
100%.
So I try and do my part.
We need a lot more people like you guys out there. That's for sure.
Yeah. And you.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, guys, there you have it. Daniel Wilgenbush, thank you so much for joining me today.
No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we owe.